Today's podcast covers the necessary habits to have a successful improvement season, along with real-life examples we have discovered along the way. Okay, guys, we're back again. This time, we'll do a real quick recap of the last event that we just threw in Miami. And then we'll get into this content because I'm really excited to talk about this. We are big advocates for being intentional with every season. And I think there's going to be a lot of really good information in here. So, let's real quickly tell them what you did in Miami.
I didn't do anything. A bunch of other people competed. we had the second annual Reckless Miami Mayhem event at the 2025 Miami International Fitness Expo, ran by FitLife Productions. And as usual, FitLife Productions put on a great show. They're very organized. They're very good at communicating with the, you know, each of the events and making everything run smoothly. And man, if you don't have something, like, they know someone who can help you. And they're very good about making that happen. So, shout out to Tony and Gio and team. Looking forward to doing it next Memorial Day. And
yes, mark your calendars.
Yeah, look forward to seeing some of you out there.
In 2023, I competed in the Pro Bikini show. So it's now called Miami Muscle Beach for amateurs, and I think it's called the Miami Pro. So I competed there in 2023, and we've been back every year since.
Yep. That's where it all began.
Doing something, yeah. But it is a blast. It's a really fun expo. I have fun every single time. And now that we get to participate in helping athletes enjoy, a competition, you get to see it from all different angles, but
yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And we only have one platform. So it's only 15 men and 15 women that are allowed to register. So it's a nice, tight-knit group. But it's at an expo. There's a ton of energy there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just...
You'll have a crowd for sure.
It's a good time.
We had the biggest crowd ever at this one.
Yeah, a lot of people stopping by. Hey, what's reckless training? What's 100% raw? What's strong lifting? What is this? What are you guys doing? What's strict curl?
And yeah.
It was really cool. Tony gave us a really good spot in the expo too. Like, as soon as people came in, they saw our big screen. So, it was a really, really fun time. I think all the athletes had a great time. Our athletes hit a ton of PRs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything ran smoothly. I mean, it feels weird saying that.
It was very bumpy leading up to this event.
Yeah.
There was a lot of resilience. continuing to push through, but it was overall very successful. We loved all the athletes that were there. And we, again, are very, very thankful for people who showed up for us that day. Mm-hmm. You just don't even know, your presence there doing something meant everything.
Yeah.
And then we've gotten a lot of really good support from the athletes as well. Just being grateful.
And offering to help in future events. And, you know, we got a couple, a few athletes who are planning on improvement seasons themselves. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, but if you do another event, you know, let me know because I still want to come help. So, like we said, it's about community. And, you know, one of our things is pack mentality. And I just feel like these strong lifting events are an exceptional community builder. So it's
fun to bring our strength athletes and our physique athletes together in one place. And that was a good time.
So, yeah, exciting news maybe coming on the horizon about that stuff. So
there's always something on the horizon.
Yeah, so
if you know TC, the horizon's full of things.
Never know what's cooking in the kettle, so you got to keep your eye on me.
Okay, and so here it is, Casual Friday. TC's covered in grease if you're watching us on YouTube. If you haven't checked us out on YouTube, please.
Actually, it's dirt or brake dust, maybe.
Oh, okay.
I was in her wheel well. we're replacing rear brakes.
He's for working on my car, and
bolts off.
And I'm casually dressed, and I didn't brush my hair. So, welcome,
this is our house attire.
Welcome to Casual Fridays here. Okay, so let's get right to the meat of it. T TC is transitioning.
Yeah, I guess out of
an improvement season.
Yeah, I don't know. These past few years have been various improvement seasons for mm-hmm. me, right? And that's kind of one of the things we want to talk about today is mentality and expectation for certain improvement seasons for various athletes and how they can differ.
Yeah.
But do you want me to talk about me personally first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So as some of you might know, I injured my back a few years ago. I'm a stubborn powerlifter, and all I wanted to do was squat and deadlift. And over the course of the next, 8 months to a year, I continued to re-injure myself because as soon as I would feel a little better, I would go in there and do the same freaking thing that hurt me. So I took lower body training out completely, and I decided that my upper body was lacking, especially in terms of a bodybuilder physique. And I wanted to build into the 90 kilo class anyway for powerlifting. So what better time to do it? Mm-hmm. Right. So now this led me down a whole journey of exploration and a lot of different emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think the first thing I ran into was some shoulder issues because I decided I wanted to build my bench. And without a strong back, you're going to have a lot of issues when you start to try to press a lot of weight. And the time I was pressing 425. So when you try to push that and you start pushing that upper limit, if you're not doing enough, antagonist muscle work. You're just not going to have the stability across the joint that you need. And especially in your shoulders and especially in your hips, we need a lot of torsional stability. We need opposing stability opposing tension to create stability across the joint is what I'm trying to say. Sorry.
There you go.
It's the sun, I promise. I was getting a lot of tightness where I didn't want it, so I had to even back away from that. So that led me to my first bodybuilding show because I decided I wanted a completely different focal point. I was working out of Planet Fitness predominantly at the time, so this was a really good time for me to focus on my positioning, my body awareness, my proprioception, obviously my posing, and my back, which I had never really cared about before because I'm not good at pull-ups, so I decided I didn't want to do them. For anyone listening or watching, that's not
anyone else
how you
anyone
do things. So now we're kind of, my plan is to transition into one more bodybuilding show or, one more prep and then come out of that into my next powerlifting prep. So we're starting to lift heavy again. We're starting to train a little harder again and starting to push a little harder again. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. So all that to say that my quote unquote improvement season or growing season, or as some people like to call it, their off season.
Yes.
All that to point out how many different stages there have been and how intentional they've all had to be mm-hmm. to lead me back to where I am now, which is, I don't know, it may not look or sound like a lot to some people, but I just feel like I've learned so much over these past few years. And I would definitely not be the coach that I am without these things. People have asked, you're not a physical therapist, but I just love learning about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And because of my issues that everyone has, I'm noticing it's very widespread, the very, very similar movement compensations. And because I'm fully digesting my own, it's become a lot easier to help other people.
Okay, so you listed a couple things in there that would be reasons that people would want to take an improvement season. So really, I feel like I define improvement season as a time for a specific goal other than a stage or a platform mm-hmm. coming up. So it's a more open time frame, still with focus and still with goals, but none of those are those I have a show coming up or a competition coming up.
Yeah. Well, and when you're training for anything, that's the difference between working out or exercising. and training, right? When you're training, it's for a specific goal. And if you're a bodybuilder, you're not only training for the parts of the year that you're dieting, right? You have to be training the rest of the year as well. So, and if your goal isn't specifically to step on a bodybuilding stage right now, which it is in the future, right? It's to step on a bodybuilding stage with more muscle than you have had previously. But some people get lost. Some people don't have that long-sighted approach. And that's why another one of our, you know, mantras, I guess you can say, is marathon mentality. Is you have to have that long-sighted approach to your training to where you can maintain that focus through these seasons that need to maintain your training intensity.
Okay, so reasons people would take an improvement season, which some of you mentioned, were injury. If you're,
yes,
you've kind of run into an issue with injury, and you need to adapt your program or protocol to accommodate that.
Yes, which let me touch on that real quick. I see a lot of people, quote unquote, like training through or training around an injury. And look, I definitely want you to analyze what your body is going through and continue to progress in the ways that you are able to progress. But the first rule of rehab is to do not move into pain. Okay, and if anything is causing that injured site any pain at all, you shouldn't be doing it. We need to address it. We need to back up. We need to take a couple steps back. We need to look at the problem and we need to address it instead of trying to ignore it and wait for it to go away. Your body's not getting any younger, and I guarantee you it's not going to start just randomly fixing itself. Okay. Normally it randomly starts breaking itself. So we need to be intentional about how we approach these things instead of just trying to train around it and continuing to beat the crap out of our bodies.
Thank you, TC.
And Rand.
Other issues or other reasons to take an improvement season would be if we are facing other health issues. Sometimes we have gut issues that it's not time to be pushing our body. Those are red flags that your body is in a situation where it needs other attention, and usually it needs to reduce stressors so that the body can work on healing.
Yeah. It's the same, similar thing, right? Pull back a little bit so that we can continue to move forward at full speed instead of half speed.
So yes, you have some health complications, normally like adjusting or going into a season where you can have like a healing or reparative focus is helpful for then when it's time to push, you have a good foundation built, your body's primed to kind of like do that.
Yeah.
If you're extremely fatigued, if you are just like not recovering, you're not sleeping, you're just like burnt out, there are specific situations where it makes sense that you just need to push. And that's if there is something really big on the line. For example, if you are Olympia qualified and you're just like super tired, but the Olympia is in 4 weeks or something insane like that, you're not going to be like, well, I'm really tired, I'm not going to push for this. So like, you want to evaluate your situation and know when it is appropriate to keep pushing. If you're very close to achieving this goal, sometimes it's worth it. But if it's just arbitrarily pushing because you want to, and you're not listening to your body, it can be detrimental. Thank you, landscapers.
It's getting all those leaves out.
My gosh.
And having said that, I think it's important to point out that the more communication you have with your coach, the more efficiently they can bring you through those tough times coming into a show like that, right? Because even if it's after a long competition season, like, okay, let's say you have a client compete in September at a natural show. And he's just going out to compete because his first competition, they get their pro card. Now, all of a sudden, now Worlds is 2 months later, do I push? And yeah, like you can do that, right? If you weren't prepared to, you definitely can pivot and do something like that. And having a coach and having that communication with your coach will allow you to mitigate that stress, as we'll talk about later on, which everything is stress mitigation. When it comes to training, everything is stress mitigation. So the more communication you have with your coach, the more efficiently that you can move through those things. But you're talking more about like, you know, chronic issues that need to be addressed, because I mean, we see it all the time. How often is, you know, someone's having trouble losing weight and they're already on super low calories, and it's tough because the body just doesn't want to respond because it's just super tired and over fatigued.
Okay, so that's another reason is if you are, it's not time to push and you should go into a building phase. So that's like an exception to kind of like the improvement season. But it would be time to build up calories and focus on training rather than go into more of an extreme deficit that's really not going to get you to your goals. So, and then lastly, most people are going into improvement season because they've accomplished a show or a competition. They are ready to put in some work because they want to make sure that they are showing up to the next competition with improvements. So they're willing to take that time to do the necessary work so that next time they step on the platform, they step on the stage, they are seeing visual changes from show to show, or their performance has leveled up from their last competition. Okay, so let's talk about some of the concrete things that are important when we're looking at improvement season. And the first thing that you were saying too is it all starts with mentality. So these landscapers, what would you say, TC, is a good mentality for people to have going into an improvement season? What would you encourage? How should they look at that time?
Well, I think probably just like, okay, let's harken back to the beginning of your training voyage, right? Where the very first trainer you ever had said, we need to figure out what your why is.
Yeah.
Not you personally. This is a hypothetical situation for everyone listening.
I thought we were talking about me.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing, right? If you are focused, if you know exactly what you're trying to accomplish in your improvement season, it becomes a lot easier to put each one of those bricks in place. Okay, we know what this wall wants to look like. Now we know how to build it. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what it needs to look like, then you're just going in blind and you're just kind of willy-nilly putting bricks out there, and it might turn into a wall, might not, might just be a pile of bricks.
I think that's true, because there are times where I ask people, like, what do you want? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you doing this? What do you want out of, like, for example, stepping on stage? What's your expectation? Some people don't even know. And then they end up being disappointed mm-hmm. because they didn't establish an expectation to know what to work towards. So I think that's a good point.
Well, and also, like, on a similar note, people will have, they'll say that they don't have necessarily an expectation. They'll put in enough work to maybe drop some pounds and feel good about how they look and say that it's a bucket list item, but then they'll be upset about not necessarily not like coming in first place.
Yeah.
This is a hard sport, just like anything else, and it takes a lot to be very good at it, right? And there's tiers, and it becomes exponentially harder the more tiers you get to. That's why everything's like a pyramid, and the top of that pyramid is so small, and every level is so much smaller than the one below it. So it's just important to match effort level with expectations, and any expectation is okay as long as, or any effort level even is okay as long as your expectations match.
Right? I think that's a very good point. Yes. Yeah.
So, as far as mentality going into an improvement season, like we talked about, have your goals firmly set in your mind. And then you can even write your goals down. Then you can write how you're going to get there. Okay, bigger glutes. Okay, I'm going to train my glutes 3 times a week. I'm going to do mobility for them 2 to 3 times a week. I'm going to get massages 1 to 2 times a month. I don't know. What else can you know? You're going to train core and...
You're going to eat your protein.
Yeah, we're going to eat our protein. We're going to drink our water. We're going to get 8 hours of sleep. You know, there are so many different little items that you can put in there to check off every single day. Mm-hmm. And then all it comes down to is effort level in the gym, right? Mm-hmm. Because even if you're checking all those things off, if you're not working hard in the gym, if you're on your phone between sets, if you're looking around, getting distracted by everyone walking around you, if you're not focused on what you're doing, if you do not have that why firmly in your head, I need bigger glutes. It's going to be tough to build bigger glutes. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, have your why.
Because if you're hungry for that too, you start thinking in that way, and then you start like collaborating more. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like working with you, I've had there are specific goals that I really want to achieve. So I'll look for ways to like continue to move in that direction, and then I'll talk to you about it. What do you think about, like, blah, blah, blah? What do you think about this? What do you think? Do you think this matters? And then it produces, like, a good conversation where we can take some things or throw some things out, and we kind of pinpoint where we need to focus to get the best return on our investment.
Yeah.
So thinking, like, getting into that mentality of, like, knowing what you want.
Investing, right? Yeah. And that's what it is. And that's what happens, unfortunately, so often is people go into their quote-unquote improvement season, and they disappear. And it's because they're not fully invested. They're distracted with other things. It's no longer their life. And look, I get it. It's not going to be – bodybuilding is – it can't be your life 24/7, 365. Right. I don't know, unless you were born rich and you can do whatever you want. It has to be a focal point. And every time you go into the gym, you have to set that time aside for yourself. And – that's a conversation that we've had. Like, we cannot be doing other things because you'll have a conversation with your clients and then go to the gym, and then I'll see you in the gym messaging. I'm like, babe, they can wait until you get home. It's 2 hours. Just like, just do your workout. This is your time. But she can't because she cares, like, so much about it. So, like, what I'm trying to say is don't get distracted by other things, even if it feels like it's a benevolent thing. Like, you need to keep your cup full. And the way that you're going to do that, and the way that you're going to feel like you're going to continually progress towards your goals, is if you're working towards them on a daily basis. If you do something for it on a daily basis, you'll feel like you're moving towards it.
My best workouts are when my phone's on silent and only my spreadsheet and my music is on my phone.
Yeah, and that's why it needs to be.
So I just close out of messages and, but it's hard. It's hard.
I took it for granted. You know how I grew up working out. It was in a barn. It was in a storage unit. It was early morning in a Soldier Fit. That was by myself. And then it was in the barn at Dad's house. And it was always like my own stuff by myself.
I know.
I took the lack of distraction for granted. And now that I'm in, like, a commercial gym, I have to constantly tell, what are you here for? What are you here for?
Yeah.
Put the horse, what are you here for? So, stay focused, people.
Yeah. So when we're talking about mentality, there are some things that I see that are negative. and one of those is being hyper-focused. So it's like we can't transition out of, and, like, we are talking about intentionality and how that's important. But on the flip side of things, there is a level of being, like, holding on too tightly to a regimen where we now are increasing stress because we're looking at being perfect with every single thing, 365 days, 24 hours a day. We're trying to be so precise. That it increases stress, and then it also kind of works against us because now we've put our body in a situation where it's trying to do the things we want to, but it's also feeling the stress of that pressure, and we create that ourselves in our own brain. So we'll talk about ways to look at your nutrition and have a little bit of flexibility, but also be intentional. We'll do the same thing with training. Our lifestyle needs to support us, and I think oftentimes I see, especially with women, we get really sucked into being perfect. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be the perfect wife, the perfect career woman. Mm-hmm. We're following the rules. We're trying to do the things. Mm-hmm. And we end up just, like, burning ourselves out.
Yeah.
And we end up spinning our wheels and not making success. Mm-hmm. Or not gaining success.
Yeah.
That's one situation. You want to say something?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So on that note, first of all, when you first started talking, and you said the hyper-focus, it made me think about how people hold tension through their entire body instead of being able to stabilize where they need to and allowing the rest of the body to relax. Mm. And then being able to activate when you need to. And then that made me think of something that Eric Thomas talks about as having, like, a sniper focus instead of being a shooter, you know, instead of just loading up clips and firing them all through the house and hoping that you shoot your guy, you're a sniper. And you sit there and you're patient and you're waiting for the perfect opportunity, and you've practiced your craft, and it takes one shot and that's it. And you know that the job is done. Okay. So now let's bring this all back to improvement season, like you were just talking about with the hyper focus.
Yeah.
It cannot rule your life, right? But it should help to guide decisions that you make on a daily basis, no matter what season you're in. Right. Like we're going to talk about nutrition later on, but choosing whole foods. But going back to training, which is what we're talking about right now, you at any given time have the capability of making the decision of going to that gym, putting your phone down, and giving it 120% effort. No matter what the rest of your life looks like, no matter how much time you have to put towards the gym that day, or we could even take it one step further and say that you have the control over your days to make sure that you have time, whether it's getting up a little earlier, going to bed a little later, like whatever it is. If that needs to be your focus, then that needs to be your focus. So, but anyway, you can still put forth 120% effort in your training sessions moving towards your goal. And then as soon as you leave, you're back to be mom or dad or brother or sister or spouse or whatever it is, or job, or, you know, whatever it is, you can put the other hat on, which kind of makes me want to talk more about like compartmentalization when it comes to mentality during your training season. Because like you said, you want balance.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to maintain that balance and to enjoy life a little bit and relax the grip on the reins a little bit. But we want to know where we can get that power, and we want to harness it every single time it comes time to be an athlete. And whether that's meal prepping on a weekly basis, still even in improvement season, meal prepping on a weekly basis, whether it's making sure that your daily routine is uninterrupted, because that's how we can progress as human beings, or whether it's making sure that your intensity in the gym is maximally focused. And it's like, it has to be like a laser beam, right? It can't be like a flashlight. It has to be a laser beam.
So your point is that in improvement season, you have a lot, you have choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have more choices than in dieting season, mm-hmm. right? Because in dieting, you can only eat this food and you can only eat blah, 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 blah.
Still be vigilant in your decisions.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be almost like more vigilant. You have to be more protective.
Yeah. Cause I think you don't have the timeline pressure.
Yeah. So
you have to know that I need to do this right now. Mm-hmm. This is where my focus needs to be.
Yeah. And another thing he talks about is in that sniper focus, he says that basically reading one page of a book and mastering it and then putting it into practice is better than reading the entire book and not putting any of it into practice. Right. So again, it's just that focus that we're talking about here, and maintaining the focus, whatever period of life you're in, on your long-term goal, right? That marathon mentality, I think, is going to be the key to achieving it. It's like the law of attraction, right? You keep in the forefront of your brain, and that's all you think about. And that's all you think about. Everything that you're thinking throughout the day, everything you see throughout the day is seen through that lens of that goal. And all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier to not eat that candy. If your goal is to be the best power bodybuilder in the world, it becomes a lot easier. If your goal is to become the best powerlifter, it becomes a lot easier to make it to the gym and do your mobility work, because you know it's necessary. So,
well, even if it's not the best in the world, if it's the best version of you,
yes,
and
yeah,
you want to take on you know take that identity of like, I'm an athlete, like own that.
Mm-hmm.
I am an athlete. What does an athlete do? And ask yourself those questions, because then if you take ownership of that being a part of who you are, your actions should follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then
like you, to your point, it's just getting better than you were before, right? Or another thing I've thought about is, what would the athlete that I want to be, what would that guy do right now?
Sure, yeah,
what decision would he make right now? And then it kind of makes you feel, you're like, okay, well, obviously this is what I have to do, because you know, usually you know. So, okay, I just went on a 10-minute rant, but.
Okay, so the second part of what I was saying 20 minutes ago.
That's why they tune in, dude. Get out of here.
No, you did a great job. So if we're too hyper-focused, right? We talked about too hyper-focused, and then we talked about like being decisive and making decisions and being intentional. But then on the flip side of things, it's people being too relaxed. Mm-hmm. So we feel like it's time for bodybuilding. It's time to diet. So I'm going to be serious now and I'm going to work hard. And then when we're not dieting, it's a free for all. And your body does not give two craps about, I was too tired, or I didn't feel like doing this, or whatever is happening. It does not care. So if you are not being intentional with what you are doing in your improvement season, you will look exactly the mm-hmm. same next time mm-hmm. you get on stage. Like, work so that you are seeing visual improvements from show to show.
Yeah.
I think like that's the reason. So we didn't even talk about why I'm in improvement season, but I competed last time in 2023. Right now it's 2025. I had opportunity and thought about stepping on stage.
There she is.
prior to today. But I chose not to for several reasons. But one is that I want to know that when I get back up on stage and I'm looking at my pictures, it's like, whoa, she made changes. I don't want it to be like, am I better? Am I not better? I want to know that, like, it is different. I don't want to waste my time dieting because dieting is my least favorite part. I don't want to waste my money. I just don't want to do that if I'm not going to see results for the hard work. Mm-hmm. So that is motivation for me on a daily basis, because I know that every day I'm putting towards eating right, training well, taking care of my body. It's that little, because muscle takes a long time.
Yeah.
It's that little bit more. So if I do all this and I get like 0.5% closer, like 0.5% and then 0.5% and then more and more and more, it adds up. And I feel with taking a relaxed approach and not trying to overthink when I'm going to get on stage next and just like letting my body do what it needs to do, mm-hmm. and waiting for it to tell me like, hey, we have a good amount of muscle now. It's time to diet and see what's there, has taken pressure off of me also and allowed me to, I think, get, you know, some good results, yeah. because I don't have something I'm racing toward when I'm stressed out.
Yeah. Well, that, and you gave yourself something, another focal point to be excited about.
That's true too.
Right. We got some strength goals and.
I need eye drops.
No, I can do it. We found some strength goals and yeah, I feel like that helps. Athletes need goals, right? And when you don't have a show planned, yeah. it's hard for some people to push. And if you're not reaching for PRs, I can understand how it would be hard to be going into the gym. Man, for these past few years, man, when I was just going to Planet Fitness before I decided to prep for that show, I was like kind of just going in there zombie walking. You were prepping, so I would go to the gym and
my support.
Do some stuff. And yeah, whenever she said she was done, it was time to go. And I was not a real athlete. And
I've not been a real athlete many of times too. Yeah. Don't get it that we have it all figured out. I think we've gone through enough experiences to know what it takes at this point, mm-hmm. but we haven't done every season perfect.
Yeah. Well, let me talk about that little pool of self-pity that was building myself. I couldn't do what I wanted to, aka squat and deadlift heavy. So kind of the hyper focus you were talking about, that's all I was thinking about. So because I couldn't do that, I started to get a little depressed. Instead of focusing on the things that I still could do and still could manage, right? And once I made that shift, it was game over, right? It was making progress again.
Yeah.
So again, like your mentality is a lot, and I'm sure everyone has seen the cliche reels or whatever about how you talk to yourself and don't talk down on yourself. But look, seriously, your body doesn't know the difference. It doesn't know that you're just kidding around when you call yourself an idiot. It doesn't know, like, if you say I'm bad at remembering names, you're probably not going to remember that person's name. But if you start talking to yourself more positive, I am a businessman, I am a salesperson, or whatever it is that you need to say, I am an athlete, I am a bodybuilder, I am a powerlifter. Right. Everyone deals with imposter syndrome in mm-hmm. a lot of aspects of their life. And I feel like sometimes they look at other people who have confidence or exhibit confidence, whether they have it or not, and wonder what's different about them. And I'll tell you, it's just they made the decision to either not care what other people think or I am good enough. Right. And I mean, according to the Bible, we're all good enough. So mm-hmm. like bringing that mentality it's very important. Okay. It's just, we need to be positive. We need to be kind with ourselves. We need to be patient, have grace with ourselves. But at the same time, we also need to be hard with ourselves. Okay. We can't take any shit. You can't allow yourself any excuses.
Yes.
Life happens to you and life is hard sometimes, but that doesn't mean that, you know, it's not an excuse for foregoing your goals. If you have these goals, then again, your effort has to match your expectations, right?
Yes.
And kind of going back to the competitors you were talking about earlier who step on stage and look the same every year, but it's because they're stuck in the cycle. And whether it's their coach leading them to that or social media or whatever it is, they kind of diet for bikini season over the summer, right? Mm. And then they eat over the winter. But again, it's very unfocused. And then they diet again because in their mind, that's all bodybuilding is. Mm-hmm. So getting away from this mentality of bodybuilding is dieting to bodybuilding is bodybuilding, right?
I love that important. So much. Yes. It's
important.
Yes. Bodybuilding.
Yeah.
I've wanted to make that post for a really long time, mm-hmm. but...
We got to grow muscle. And to grow muscle, like you said, you got to eat. And you got to eat right, ideally, right? If your body's making new cells... You want to give it good fuel to make those cells with.
So let's talk about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's jump to nutrition.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go. Keep telling your thoughts. Oh, on the spot now.
Well, I wasn't going to talk. I was going to say you got to sleep right and you got to train hard.
Write that down.
Three things. Eat right, sleep right, train hard.
Okay. I want to go back to talking about training, but let's hit nutrition real quick. So this is one thing that I've made a huge change with. When I first started prepping and through several years, actually probably up till this year, maybe last year, bodybuilding nutritionally, I think, can be very unhealthy. And I know that sounds like so weird because people are like, that doesn't make sense. You're eating chicken and vegetables and you're drinking water and blah, blah, blah. But there's smaller aspects, I think, that go undetected that really... affect our bodies without us knowing it or not. So most recently I stopped using like non-stick pans. I cook with butter now. I don't like drench everything in butter, but cast iron pans, I use butter. I don't eat anything that has just a bunch of crap ingredients. I'm very specific about what prepackaged foods I eat. I have not found a protein bar that has passed my test yet.
Transparent Labs might.
Okay.
Try them, but that's new.
Prove it to me.
I haven't showed her yet.
Whoever you are with a protein bar, prove it to me. But yeah, I've just been very intentional about what exactly it is that I'm putting in my body. So whole foods above everything else. Mm-hmm. I think that in prep, sometimes we get two things happen. We get like, oh, I can't eat anything, so I can only eat whole foods. And then when I'm in improvement season, I want to eat everything else. And then whole foods go out the window. Or in dieting season, we try to hold on so hard to the foods that we love so much that we eat these like crazy pieces of crap. Like, do not eat
chemical confetti fun things.
If you want to build muscle and you want to eat protein, because protein's part of like protein synthesis and building muscle tissue, would you not choose like the best protein sources to put into your body to help it create that muscle tissue? Do not eat a candy bar that has put whey protein in it, or Quest chips are another one that I'm like.
Yeah. Well, you can also think about it as bioavailability, right? What?
I'm not done trashing all these companies.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No. My point is like, I've made the switch, I think, to looking at like what the sources that I'm putting in my body rather than just the macros.
Yeah.
And I think that has helped me a lot. A lot of people are asking me when I'm competing. Because my inflammation has come down, I'm a lot more conditioned. I have never, ever had abs at an improvement season ever. I would diet just so I could please see an ab line. But now, I can see some more definition. Like I said, I think muscle tissue has gone up, body fat has come down. I feel healthier. And I think a lot of that I would attribute to some of the nutritional changes I've made.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I think like you definitely noticed that inflammation and gut issues with artificial sweeteners like sugar alcohols and erythritol and sucralose specifically.
Yeah, it bothers me.
And allulose.
Yeah.
Which they sneak those things in there, man. I'll tell you, there will still be sugar in that thing. They'll still put some of that stuff in there, but it's because it makes it hyper sweet and it really pings those taste buds. And it's psychological. They know what they're doing. Okay, guys. So it is tough to get away from these things, but once you do, it just takes a couple days, right? And some people can quit cold turkey. I'll tell you, when I do, I kind of have to make myself stop eating all white sugar for a couple days, and then the cravings go away, and then I can reintroduce my fruit snacks or something, like just like one per day or something, because you know when I'm in prep, I'll have like one or two during my workout, and then maybe one or two at night. And that's a total, you know, there's 70 calories per pack, 17 carbs. So it's like you kind of know what these things are once you start incorporating them in your prep, which I guess speaks to another point of, you know, eating the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like it might be whole foods in your prep, but if it's the same thing, if it's chicken and rice and you're getting all your fat from peanut butter, your hormones are probably going to take a hit. So especially if you're a natural athlete, we still want to try to keep some red meat in there. Blah, 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 like food variety, but right? That's basically what we're getting at there. So.
And so in improvement season, you should have more like availability to add in food variety. So make sure that you do that. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like switching out a vegetable, like sometimes I'll eat the same proteins, but I don't have the same protein at every meal. So if I'm eating 4 or 5 meals, I'm having 4 or 5 different options of protein. and I understand that if you're someone who has to eat a lot in their improvement season, eating whole foods is
it's tough.
Wow. It's a goal in itself to get that food in. There are times where I'm like, I just cannot, but, there are like small ways to help make it more sustainable or make it more feasible to eat.
Like smoking weed. Just kidding. But I am one of those people. I have a problem eating as much as I need to. So yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. Like, man, 200 grams of protein and it really, you want 220 plus, and it's tough. It becomes like a job.
I've drank juice, like juice with no added sugars.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, for some
to kind of get
calories.
Some and I will do that around like my workouts because I know that it is a lot of like fast digesting. Mm-hmm. I'll pair it with like a protein or a fat as well too, so I don't get like a huge sugar spike and a crash. Like there's ways around it.
Yeah. I added milk in, for example.
You don't have to eat like 200 grams of carbs from vegetables. Don't do that to yourself. Like but yeah, like milk is a great one too. I think liquids sometimes can really help make up the difference when it comes to that. Excuse me. So I understand that too, that you're not going to be able to eat only whole foods.
No, but that's the point, right? Like this is your opportunity to have a little snack every once in a while or maybe a little spike on the weekend. You know, you're at maintenance throughout the week and then you go out to eat with your wife or whatever it might be. Yeah. It's again about balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, but I think the main point is like making sure that we're getting the majority of our foods from like good sources.
Yes.
And that we are adding in variety, that we're cycling through different things and that we're making sure that we're getting some red meat in there. We're getting in our omega-3s. Like we're getting a lot of stuff like that.
And guys, there's so much good food out there. And I feel like the fast food especially has been hyper palatized. So it's literally engineered to taste good. It's terrible for you. Okay. It causes a bunch of inflammation. It's hard for your body to put it to use. Your body has to go through a bunch of stuff to use it. And in all those things, it's creating more inflammation. Whereas if you just eat some real grass-fed organic red meat, it's going to go into your body. Your body's going to be able to use it. And I'm not counting a carnivore diet or anything. I'm not telling you to do anything specific, but I am just telling you, like, cook your own food.
Yeah.
And there are so many ways. It's so easy to make it taste good. I'm not a chef. And Chris is always she's always, I swear to you guys, okay, I'm going to have to start making videos because what I do is really not that hard. It's just... I guess you just have to care about it, right? It's
just
you have to put
everything.
Effort into it. No, that's not.
Also,
well, maybe it's because I just care, right? I just care a lot about what I'm doing right now. Whatever it is, whatever's in front of me, I care a lot about the product and about wanting to do a good job.
He cares about me enjoying that food.
Yeah, that's the best part of my day. Is her saying, oh my gosh, this is the best meal of my life. And she says it almost every night. So I'm very lucky to have a very easily pleased.
No, food. I'm lucky. But anyways, cook your own food.
Yeah.
I did have a client most recently that I encouraged her. I said, because we were talking a bunch, and I said, you know, try to get like some organic things. Mm-hmm. And especially like red meat. Oh my gosh, I can't eat.
Guys, okay, your cheat meal. Don't go out to eat. Go to Whole Foods. Buy some top sirloin steak and cook it in your cast iron pan with some butter and enjoy it. Okay, thank me later. That's it. That's all it takes. Put some potatoes in your air fryer and cook a piece of steak.
There you go.
And I'll tell you, you don't need anything else. Okay, there's people out there who don't like steak. Fine, get a tuna steak, get a halibut, get whatever you want. You know, like treat yourself like that. But yeah, go spend $50. Oh, I thought I said it for an hour and a half. It's only been 45 minutes.
Our screen went. But yeah, the steak. And also, so grass-fed food, that's what I was trying to get at. Grass-fed beef tastes better, in my opinion. And we are not rich people. in case you don't know us. But there's ways to find grass-fed beef. Like, we will buy it at Aldi. We buy it at Walmart.
Yeah, and honestly, it's not that much different. The 93 at Aldi, I think, is $6 a pound.
And maybe that's not the most, the best option ever, but it's better than...
Yeah, the organic grass-fed at Walmart is around it might be $7.50 now. I think it's $22 or $23 for the 3-pack. So yeah, look, it is a little more expensive, but again, it's about priorities and about what you're putting into your body. And with, you know, the threat of like pesticides, you know, glyphosate, microplastics, it's like
microwaves.
Yeah. Microwaves. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, there's just so many things out there that can bring us further from your goals, but just remember that every 1 or 2% performance increase or recovery increase, capacity increase, that all adds up every single day that you can. That's why we use pre-workout, right? Because even if it's only 2% performance increase, 2% every single day, by the end of that year, you're doing so much more than you could have without that 2% increase. So we just need to continue to look to see what details we can lock into place on a daily basis to continue to maximize the efficiency of our training protocol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. but don't get it wrong. Like, we do enjoy food that is not optimal, but we're very particular about it, and we do watch the source. Yeah. I think above everything else. But
we can do an entire podcast on like what we look out for in nutrition. Maybe we should do that one day.
Okay,
we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that.
Also, we do use supplementation that has sweeteners in it. Again, we're just very particular about. Yes, we should do a podcast on.
We'll wear a tinfoil hats for that one.
Okay, so now that everyone's very sad because they can't eat out of plastic and microwave their food and they have to buy grass-fed beef and carbs from jelly beans are not the same, just be smart. Give your body what it needs.
It's moderation, guys.
Give your body moderation. Your body what it needs to do the thing that you want it to do.
Yeah.
Don't make it distracted by...
Yeah.
You get my point.
I also think that enjoyment is integral to growth.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. So if you're having a good time, now if you're eating a bunch of junk food, well, eventually eating a bunch of junk food, you're going to start to feel like shit. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually you will feel like crap and you're going to have to course correct. Yeah. I guarantee, who out there who has competed and reversed and eaten a bunch of cookies and like had their entire suitcase filled up with junk food? How many of you did not feel like shit the next day? Okay. I'm telling you, if you've done a bodybuilding show, you've probably gone through this. Okay, so like just remember that feeling. Do it once. Great, do it. Go all out. And then remember that feeling and tell yourself, I don't want to feel like that. I need to fuel my body with things that it's going to do well with. Mm-hmm. And if that's a nice piece of grass-fed steak with some organic potatoes, with some nice all-natural or even homemade ice cream, great.
Have some 85% chocolate.
Yeah.
It's supposed to 85 and up.
Don't eat 90 or 95.
No, 90's fine.
Don't eat 95.
95 or 100 is disgusting.
Doesn't taste like chocolate.
But 85 to 90, it actually is supposed to help reduce cravings, eating dark chocolate. And you only have to eat like a square. I'm not saying eat a whole candy bar. But like that's what I'll do is I'll eat a square after dinner because I want dessert.
Like an ice cap.
Every day.
Nightcap, yeah.
But that's and there are positive things about dark chocolate. It's way less. I started eating 60% chocolate with those chocolate chips, and I'm craving sugar all the time now. It's wild to me.
Oh, yeah, those are
lower. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I need something sweet. But when I was only eating the 85, so I'll go back to that.
Yeah.
I did not crave sugar at all. Babe, it's okay. So I think like what you teach yourself and what you give yourself, it will learn to accept and don't be, just be smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think we
killed that horse.
Yeah. I think that's one's done.
All right. Let's talk about stress mitigation.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So any training is about stress mitigation. Your body sees all stress the same, no matter what it is. And in order to recover, right? And that's where the growth happens. Your body has to have the available resources to be able to put towards accommodating that stress, right? And if it can't, it's going to kind of put it on stasis do what it can and accommodate the bigger stress in your life. All right. So do you want to talk about that?
So where I'm sure that no one listening to this podcast is stressed. Everyone tells me they're not stressed.
They do it all the time. And they talk about how stressed they are. And then they're like, yeah, I don't feel stressed.
But okay. So I think that our society has learned that stress is normal. And running from the minute you get up to the minute you go to bed and tons of stimulation and tons of responsibility, never slowing down is normal. That it's
yeah. Or applauded even, you know, like
yeah.
grinding.
Oh, look at you go. Yeah. yeah. So I think it's important to understand that we need to be vigilant about our own boundaries and understand that like going 100% of the time, doing a million things is not necessarily moving us towards our goal because it's putting our body in a heightened yeah. state of stress yeah. consistently.
If your goal is a training goal, it is necessarily not moving you closer to your goal, just being busy.
Yeah. So there's a
difference between busy and productive.
Yeah. That's true. Busy versus productive. And you will, like everyone has stress in their life. You're not going to be, don't try and be stress free. They'll stress you out.
Yeah.
I try to do that. And you will have certain responsibilities to in your relationships. You will have certain responsibilities in your career. But don't tack on tons of extra stuff if you don't have to. Just yeah. like take inventory every once yeah. in a while and be like, okay, I'm starting to really feel like fatigued, or I'm starting to feel irritable, or I'm starting to feel like not my best version of myself. Like, do I have too much on my plate right now? And maybe remove things for a season. Like, it's okay to be like, you know what? I can't pick up this other volunteer position because it's taking away from my family. I feel like my training sessions are terrible. Like, you should have a list of priorities and put them in an appropriate order. And if you're very serious about your athletic goals, that priority should be somewhere in the top five, maybe.
Yeah. And there are different exercises.
It doesn't have to be number one, but up there.
You can do different exercises, like, and I was just telling Chris the other day that I itemized how much everything costs, like every single serving of everything that I was ingesting on a daily basis. You can do something similar for your time allotment, right? And you've done that actually for some of your professional goals, right? You see how many hours you want to allot towards this goal per day or per week. And then once your hours are allotted, you can't fit anything else in there. Yeah. And then if, you know, something, well, no, either I have to take something out or no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So that kind of comes back to being realistic with your expectations versus your effort level versus your investment level, right? If you invest 1 hour's worth of work, expect to get 1 hour's worth of effort, right? Unless even in that 1 hour, you're not even really paying attention and you're just going through the motions, then you're probably only getting at 30 or 45 minutes worth of return. Mm. So really, we want to be as efficient as possible with everything that we're doing, which means the intensity of the focus has to be there. For each individual thing that you're doing, you have to be focused on that individual thing and be putting 100% of your effort towards that individual thing until you move on to the next thing. End rant.
I do think like the stress management is a big personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who's used to caretaking for other people, it's going to be very challenging. But no one else is going to know what you need, and no one else is going to know when you're approaching your full capacity. No one's going to know except you. So you have to pay attention to what is in your life, just from a health standpoint, not even from like an athletic perspective, just from like what is healthy for you. And environments are a big one too, like what types of environments you're in, like people. People can be very taxing. That's a hard one to kind of like delineate where you should tolerate and work with a relationship or when it needs to be removed because it's taking too much.
Well, where's the energy balance in each of your relationships?
Yeah.
And if you have negative energy balances in your life, somehow you have to remove them, right? We have to remove these energy drains because we have to be putting as much energy resources towards growth, towards whatever our aspiration is. What, you know, for this podcast, it's normally athletic, but for anyone out there who has athletic or business or professional or whatever goals, you have to be focused.
Mm-hmm. And then also, like, social media can be draining sometimes too, or can be negative, or I don't know. It, like, that can have its own influence as well. So just making sure that what you're allowing into your brain, what environments you're putting yourself in, like, you are protecting yourself, you're protecting your mentality, you're surrounding yourself and influencing yourself with things that are going to move you towards your goal, not be anchors that are going to hold you back.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, that's definitely like a personal responsibility. And then there, so when we are talking about stress, there is good stress and there's bad stress. So I lifted listed a couple of things that are bad stress. Good stress you can think of as your training session, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's challenging you to be better.
Yeah.
It's making you uncomfortable to grow, not just uncomfortable to be uncomfortable. Like, it's moving you towards something. It's moving you towards the best version of you, is how I would say. That's good stress. So that's why removing all stress is not necessary, because we do want some of that. We don't want to just be a lump on the log.
Yeah.
We need to be moving.
Yeah.
But if we have one stress bucket, we want to be filling it up with as much positive stress as we can.
Yeah.
Well, don't fill it all the way up, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, because another word for positive stress is aspiration.
Yeah.
Right? You know, your bodybuilding prep is positive stress. But because that stress bucket is now half full with your, or 75% full with your bodybuilding prep, you have to be very careful with what you're going to do with the last 25%.
Exactly.
Because, man, it's real quick. You see so many people get, you know, I mean, the road rage meathead is like a typical cliche, but it's generally, it's probably because he's in prep, man. If I haven't eaten yet today, you know, I might be mad too. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, caffeine is also another one to be careful of when you're thinking about stress management, because caffeine can, especially the source of caffeine that you get, it can increase anxiety. It can increase that feeling of like, I need to be busy versus being productive. It can make you unfocused if you are drinking too much.
Yeah, and irritable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We also can set ourselves up for caffeine crashes, where now we're just supplementing with more caffeine throughout the day, which is interrupting our sleep, which is creating a perpetual cycle. So for people, when I have them check in with me, whether it's improvement season or prep, I have them tell me what their caffeine intake is, and I watch it. Some people just like love their caffeine and they can tolerate more than others, but I just make sure that we're not getting stuck into the rut of, I consumed this much caffeine during prep, so I need to continue to consume this much caffeine in my improvement season, because you should be getting fuel from your food. You should be getting better rest. You should not have to lean so heavily on caffeine. So caffeine is purposeful, but it needs to be, just like everything, it needs to be used intentionally. Yeah.
Yeah. When I say I'm tired, you don't say, do you want an energy drink or do you want some coffee or so? You say, have you eaten, or do you need some water? Or when, you know, are you drinking water, or, you know, how's your salt or whatever? You know, there's so many other variables that people, but, you know, marketing and, it's tough. It's, you know, you think I'm tired, I need an energy drink. So yes, generally not the case.
And energy drinks have the, you know, other ingredients in there that are really
Once you put the tinfoil hat on, babe, you can't buy anything. If it's prepackaged, you see it, it's like, you're like, I want it. I wish I could have it.
I don't drink any energy drinks. I've chosen.
Yeah, she's really good. I have like a ghost or something. One thing I look for is cyanocobalamin. I try to stay away from that. I try to get the B12 from the methylcobalamin. Not that I really care about the B12. I just don't want any of the cyano in there. So but no matter what you buy, especially if it doesn't have any calories, it's going to have something artificial in there.
Yeah.
And it's just,
things taste really bad without sweeteners.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. But once you stop eating it, fruit tastes really good, right? Yeah. And I read this thing talking about how fruit is the only caramelless food. You know, it's the only thing that you can get without hurting something else to get it. It's the only thing you can eat without hurting something else to get it.
So be a fruitarian.
Yeah. Only eat fruit.
Okay, and then the one more thing about stress mitigation is having having deloads. Do you still need deloads in improvement season?
Yeah, ideally, because you can push even harder, right? So now you're pushing as hard as you literally freaking can. So some people I have to schedule it in because they don't talk to me. And I just know that your body needs to recover a little bit. And some people who talk to me and can be honest with me about their workload, we can, you know, play by ear and kind of push until we stop making progress. And generally, that's the marker I look for. But if you have people who aren't necessarily pushing super hard in the gym, they may not need deloads because they're just kind of working out and going through the motions. But
do bodybuilders need deloads?
It depends how they're lifting. That's kind of what I was saying, is if you're not really working hard, you might not. But if you're making progress, if you're looking to make progress, you should be working very hard. And that effort level will demand deloads.
Yes.
So
I've experienced that.
Yeah.
I hated deloads until I learned that my body loved them because I was working hard enough. I was not working because I didn't want deloads.
Well, it makes you, a lot of times athletes feel like, well, the mentality, the verbiage, calling it a deal, I had to call it a
technique week
for Chris at the beginning. Yeah. Cause the verbiage messes with people. But yeah, so your deload doesn't just have to be, okay, do the same program 70%. That's boring. You can do a bunch of unilateral stuff. You can do a bunch of HIIT stuff. You can do a bunch of different stuff, right? Like train your body differently to give those other pathways, like the CNS pathways, those other primary mover muscles, give them just a little bit of a break from that maximum effort exertion. And then the next week you're going to come back and you're going to start your week, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 pounds below where you were the previous week, but then you're going to be able to progress linearly over the next month and a half, 2 months, right past that plateau that you were just struggling with.
So talk to us about what training should look like. We'll start with bodybuilding and then we'll move on to powerlifting. But what should training look like for an improvement season for someone who has hypertrophy goals?
If you have hypertrophy goals, you should try to get as strong as you can. The reason being, stronger muscles move more weight. If you can move more weight, you can move more volume. If you do more volume, you can get bigger muscles, right? Stronger muscles are also more in control so that you can better isolate where you want this work to be done, right? So, and if you are stronger, right, it's not just about like locking yourself into this position and I can move 1,000,000 pounds on this leg press or something, right? No, if you are strong and maybe open change exercises or whatever it might be, if your kinetic chain is strong, you are able to stabilize yourself so that you can, again, you can attack specific areas in your body that you want to change for your presentation on stage. Whether it's going to be presentation, whether it's going to be, you know, I need to chisel out my lower back because there's no Christmas tree last time. Whatever it is, like it's different focal points, but you have to be strong in order to move the weight that you're going to have to move to elicit the changes that you want. Generally speaking, people's core and stabilizer muscles are the limiting factor when it comes to hypertrophy. And they're like, oh, well, I'm just trying to build my lats. Well, if you can't stabilize your rib cage, you're not going to be, and if you can't stabilize your rib cage and your pelvis, in the opposing forces from your lats, you're not going to be able to build your lats. And what are your lats pulling against? If you think about your lats on your back, they're pulling your ribcage, you know, kind of open and back like this. And if your abs can't keep the front of that ribcage down, then you don't have a great anchoring point for those lats. Now the lats, you know, they anchor on the spine.
What I think happens is you hit a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You can train incorrectly for a period of time and grow muscle. Mm-hmm. You don't have to train perfectly to grow muscle.
Correct.
But then you reach a ceiling where now growth already slows down with more advancement.
Mm-hmm.
But you've now developed a pattern that's less able to pinpoint specific muscle groups. And now you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again, where I think you could continue to progress past that point a little bit faster if you had more control over your body and more strength.
Yeah, well, and also, you say you're doing the same thing. really your body is not doing the same thing over and over again, because we're not perfectly stabilizing. We're not creating rigidity in the right points in our kinetic chain. We're not doing this exercise over and over again exactly the way it needs to. So that's why the muscles that we want to grow are not growing the way they want to grow. Like they'll get strong enough to do what you're doing, but if it's not the way your body's supposed to be set up, your body's smart. It's not just going to keep going. And that's why certain people have like that statuesque physique, but it's because they have focused on how they're recruiting their body, and they have recruited it properly every time. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, taking shortcuts and, you know, doing partial reps or, you know, not stabilizing, trying to get, you know, use momentum to get a little more weight. Like they have been strict with everything that they're doing. And if they haven't been in a certain part of their chain, you can tell, right? You can see where, and it, of course, this is not you, the general public. This is you with an experienced eye for these things. You can see when an athlete has trouble recruiting a certain part of their kinetic chain. That's a topic for a different.
I think that's very important for bodybuilding when you're thinking about waistlines.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I was thinking about that just this morning, actually, about how ironic it is that I started as a, you know, bodybuilder with a big waistline because, you're a powerlifter, so you're strong and blah, 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 you're going to have that big waistline. And actually, that was probably at my weakest point, was when I was on the bodybuilding stage. And now my waist is smaller because I've done so much intentional work with how I'm recruiting my abdominal muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you look at how you recruit them during your lifts as well?
Yes, 100%.
Me too.
Yeah.
Challenging.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But once you can lock it in, and every once in a while you'll feel it, it'll lock in. You'll be like, oh, wow, this, I feel really strong. And then you go back and you're trying so hard and this weight feels so heavy. You're wondering what is different. And the core is not locked in the same.
Yes.
And you're like, but I feel it. I'm still tight. Okay, but you're probably just pulling through your psoas and your low back erectors like your body's used to doing, instead of actually keeping all that tension in your abdominals, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
Yeah, I was benching and he was like, use your obliques.
Yeah.
Forbidden. You don't use your obliques.
Mm-hmm.
Not in bikini. And I pulled my waist in because I have practiced using my TA, and the weight just was light.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think every time you're in the gym, you're actually training your core, for better or worse.
And I just want to make a point real quick about when you're on stage as any athlete. Okay, but as a bikini athlete in your back pose, why do you not contract your glutes?
Because they flatten.
Because it makes them smaller, right? So why would you not keep your abs contracted?
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain level, right? Not like you're doing a most muscular pose, but at a certain level, why would you not keep your abs contracted the entire time you're on that stage, thinking tall and tight and keeping it all pulled in nice and tight?
Guys, are you doing it?
Yeah, right. Like it's as you do it, you think. And so it's maintain that cue. And just like you were talking about, when you're walking around in the gym, when you're doing exercises in the gym, you need to maintain that focal point of keeping that sternum down, but keeping everything pulled in and tall and tight. And if you can maintain that and you can build that until it's subconscious, then when you walk out on stage, you will look super freaking confident. You will look like you belong on that stage. And your proportions are going to look statuesque.
Well, also, like, looking at the TA, I didn't realize until...
Which is transverse abdominis.
Last year, maybe. Because I never looked at a picture of it. Mm-hmm. And it is literally a waist trainer in your body.
Your corset, yeah.
It's around your whole entire core. And so I'm like, well, then if it's a muscle, it can contract. Mm-hmm. So how can I contract? And I'm not, like, doing ab vacuums. I would put my weightlifting belt on and try and pull the sides of my waist away from the belt. And I would just practice and practice and practice. And I can. So I actually can. And that's because I saw you doing it. But I can actually shrink my waist by contracting those muscles, like you're saying. It takes a lot of practice to develop that connection. But an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. And now if you think contrarily, if you're wearing that waist trainer all this time, like 8 hours a day, now that TA doesn't have to work all that time. It's not working
at all. Yeah.
So, okay. I don't know. Maybe it works acutely. I don't know. I don't know what there is to back waist trainer use, but look, just for the record, TC is 100% against the use of waist trainers for the purpose of making your waist smaller. Okay. That's kind of like doing static stretching to alleviate back pain. Okay, yeah, that might be a part of it, but so is lying down and practicing ab vacuums, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. So yeah, I don't know. I'm always a fan of active solutions rather than passive solutions. And I've also said things like, you make your workouts as hard as possible. And my athletes are probably like, yeah, well, screw you, man. Like, you already do that for us.
Yeah.
But the what I'm saying there is, be as strict as possible. Don't try to like round over in your Bulgarians because it's a little easy. Stay tall. Keep your erectors activated. Keep your abdominals activated. All of that stability and all of that rigidity through your torso will transfer to your other lifts. And okay, we're talking about bodybuilders. Okay, what does that have to do with bodybuilders? Look, the more stiff and stable you can stay, the more work you're gonna be able to put into that exact muscle that you want to grow. You want to grow your glutes in that Bulgarian, you're gonna be able to do that. You're gonna be able to stabilize your pelvis exactly where you want it to be, so that your glutes are the focus instead of your quads or your hamstrings.
I also knew that weakness in some of my surrounding muscles was inhibiting mm-hmm. glute growth
yeah.
because the rest of my body couldn't handle the load that I wanted to put on my glutes.
Yeah.
So you just need to train intentionally.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
getting strong, I think, is very important. It's helped me a lot. And strengthen your core. Strengthen it.
Don't ignore it. Don't try to put a Band-Aid on it with a waist trainer. Like.
And the way, but practice. The way that you strengthen it, I think, yes. is important.
Exactly. And it has to be, okay, so while we're talking about this, I have been practicing recently because my low back erectors have been super, super tight. And if you're watching my deadlift videos, you can kind of see it looks like there's a little anterior hip tilt. That's because there still is, because those erectors are so tight back there. So one thing that I've been trying to do is take a ball, I'll put it in my back, anywhere from my lower trap down to my SI joint, anywhere in there. And I'll do different things. I'll start in my SI joint or in the top, blah, blah, blah. But I will actively try to produce lumbar flexion and try to push my low back into the ground away from that ball to get some good abdominal activation, because once these low back erectors have been tight for so long, they like to stay tight until we actively tell them to loosen. And it takes a while. I'll sit there and I'll feel it loosen a little bit. I'll reposition and then I'll take another breath and I'll be able to move again. And I'll be able to move again. Okay, so when I say things like there's always more, that's in each and everything that we do. And I just want you to bring that patient mentality to these different aspects of training, right? Because doing something like that before you do some sort of core activation is going to allow you to have much better core activation and much less psoas and hip flexor activation. Right. If you're stuck in lumbar extension, it's going to be really hard to activate your abdominal muscles properly. It's going to be really hard. So sometimes we have to do this mobility work before we do an exercise to make sure that work is going where we want it to, instead of just doing a bunch of hanging leg raises. And now you have super strong psoas muscles and your abs are not sore at all.
Wait, I have like a million questions now. Okay. So I don't know where to go. Where I'm at a crossroads. Let's go back real quick. So you should get strong. You should focus on strength. You're still focusing on hypertrophy as well, but you are putting a focus on strength in your improvement season. You're not just doing a ton of exercises for 1 to 3 reps.
Yeah, I never wrapped that up. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, for bodybuilders, get strong. I think that, yeah, the rep counts, I probably wouldn't go. If you're not practicing to do any kind of powerlifting competition, you probably shouldn't do a 1 rep max.
There's okay, no wait, that was my next question, is when should bodybuilders be pushing for PRs?
Yeah, so in your improvement season, I would say you should be pushing for 3 to 12 rep PRs. Okay, so I usually prescribe a top set that's either 1 or 3 or 5 reps. And then working sets that are normally, 5 reps or 6 to 8 or 8 to 12 for your compound lifts.
So bodybuilders are 3 to 12.
Yeah, because I would probably do your top set either 3 or 5.
Yeah.
And then your working sets would be a range, and it would probably be 8 to 12 because for hypertrophy, basically the studies have shown, this rep range. Basically, it's come as close to failure as possible. It's, most of your work gets done in your first set, like 70%. and come as close to failure as possible. So make sure you're working as hard as possible during your warm-up sets. And when you're doing your working sets, make sure that you're pushing yourself adequately, okay? And I always say technical failure because I don't want you doing weird stuff in your reps. I want you to lock that form in and do not sacrifice that form. And the stronger your stabilizers get, look, as when your stabilizers are caught up to your primary movers, there will never be any compensation in your form. You don't even have to worry about it. And then we can just push linearly. But until it happens, we need to look at technical proficiency first.
A good point, the technical proficiency.
Yeah, and then so that to the point of being strong, we want to always be progressing, right? And if you're coming in and using, well, I squat, 200 pounds for, 10 reps three times. Is that, you think that's good? Well, not if you do it every single week, right? If you can do that for 10 reps, now get it to 12 reps. And then once you can do that 200 pounds for 12 reps for all of your working sets, now we can move up in weight until you can only do 8 reps again. And then once you can only do 8 reps, now you stick with that weight. And then we try to increase the reps on a weekly basis. And once you get back to 12, now you can increase the weight again. Now what this does is it keeps you pushing. It keeps these mini goals like built into your program. And every time you go up in weight, it feels good. And then the week that you have and it's a crappy week and you come in and none of your lifts feel good and squats feel super heavy and your shoulders hurt on bench, okay, I'm going to deload. Well, yeah, deload. Let's deload and do some unilateral stuff. We'll do some mobility, some core work. Keep that core engaged. Open up the hips, open up the shoulders, and then come back and hit it strong next week. So, yeah, get strong. Push yourself because if you're not pushing in the gym, you are not getting any bigger, period.
So I think that's an important point. If you need to build muscle, you need to work hard.
Yeah, which sounds silly to say, but man, it's just so many people, they either feel like they're working hard or they feel like they've done it. They've been doing it for long enough and they should see different results. And guys, I've been doing this for 20 years and everyone loves to look at me and where I am now and say, oh, steroids, but like I'm a natural lifter. I've just been doing it for 20 years. I just keep showing up every day. And some days I have good days. Some days I have really crappy days. Some days I leave the gym feeling like Superman. Some days I leave the gym feeling like I'm 100 years old and I should hang up my singlet and never do anything again.
Well, I've even heard bikini pros say that they weren't working hard enough. Mm-hmm. And they're like towards the top of their categories, muscle ceiling. Mm-hmm. But they just would need like more glutes or a little bit more fullness or whatever. And they talked about working harder. And I also want to make this point. If you're, because I want to talk about like reality. If you are a natural lifter, it's going to take you more time to put muscle on. So if you're watching an assisted competitor, just realize that the rate of muscle growth is going to be skewed for a natural lifter versus an assisted lifter. Mm-hmm. It's just like the way that it is. Also, some people have more genetic potential to grow muscle. So there's going to be differences within people that way. So don't just, if you see on Instagram a girl doing RDLs with 20-pound dumbbells and she has enormous glutes, think that's what I have to do for my body to make it look like that. Mm-hmm. Because one, that's an advertisement. And two, that doesn't mean she built glutes doing RDLs with 20-pound dumbbells. Yep. So just use your brain, investigate your own physique and your body, look at it objectively, and then put realistic expectations and hard work into play to get where you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoy the process. I think that's the main thing. Like,
man, if you love training.
Yeah. I made virtually all of my progress before I ever considered competing in anything.
Just went to the top.
I just loved it. I just loved doing it. I grew up reading Muscle and Fitness. I grew up on 8 to 12, and I just loved doing it. I just loved it. And that you have to have that. You have to love the process. If you don't love training, you're not going to be a great bodybuilder. You're not going to be a great powerlifter. You have to love what you're doing. And that's not to say that you have to love every single day and every single time that you go into the gym and every single gym session, but you should love what it is and what it's doing for you and what it represents. And, it's just going back to that mentality thing. It's important. You can't just be doing it because you want to look good on Instagram. You can't just be doing it because so-and-so is doing it. You can't be doing it because you want to look like C-bum. You can't be doing it because you have to be doing it because you love doing it. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. And look, some people have other reasons, right? And that's great. It's a bucket list item, but even that would still fall into, I love doing this because this is a bucket list item. So I love that I'm completing a bucket list item. And that person's probably not going to have Olympia aspirations, right? They're going to do it and they're going to complete their bucket list and they're going to move on with their life. And that's great. That's great for them. That's awesome. Because this, like the discipline that you need to show to get onto a bodybuilding stage is a lot.
So I
feel like, you know, I always said wrestling is the hardest sport I've ever done. And I feel like every boy should do it. You know, I feel like people would benefit from sticking to going through a bodybuilding prep and actually sticking to the program.
Yeah. Yeah. To your point, I have enjoyed my improvement season more doing, like having a strength focus and hypertrophy focus as well. Cause I feel like I'm getting stimulus to the muscles that I want to grow. So that's making me feel good as a bodybuilder, but also like I want to be reaching for something, especially in long improvement seasons. I want to feel like I'm accomplishing something, not just waiting for the next time to pull the trigger and diet.
Yeah.
And so being able to just like learn the technique of certain lifts and then challenge myself to see how strong can I get in this? And then just being able to use my body as a whole has been helpful. What a powerlifter improvement season training.
Probably pretty similar to peaking season with a bunch more accessories. Mm-hmm. So for powerlifting, your training is going to be a lot of specificity leading up to the event, obviously, right? For probably a month to a month and a half, maybe before the event, you might only be doing squat, bench, and deadlift. Maybe you might have one other accessory in there. You might be doing two compound lifts a day. You know, that's usually what I do, like month and a half out. They might have two compound lifts, one accessory. Whereas in your improvement season, you'll probably still have two compound lifts. You'll probably have like one or two sets fewer for those compound lifts, but you're going to have more accessory work. And our accessory work is going to be geared towards addressing weaknesses and building muscle volume where we want it to be. Now, if you're at the top end of your weight class and you're an elite level lifter, you may not need to get much bigger. You're still probably going to want to do some heavy accessories, right? And you're just going to keep it in the 5 or 6 to 8 rep range, right? Because that's going to, you know, elicit a lot of strength feedback without a ton of hypertrophy. I mean, you still want to go to failure, but anyway, yeah. A powerlifter's growing season is going to be that. It's still going to be a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot more volume because we need to lock in the form and make sure that we're doing these lifts exactly the same way every single time we walk up to that bar. And then we can maximize the strength focal point. I'm crazy and I'm weird, so I'm not going to say what I do for off seasons. I don't worry. There really isn't an off season. You know, I also do very well coming out of a dieting season, coming out of a cut. I've cut for all of my powerlifting meets, obviously cut for the bodybuilding shows, and coming out, reversing out of these things, when you do it correctly, your body has enormous growth potential. Okay. And so many people don't even think about that. And we didn't even talk about that in the beginning of this podcast.
That's very true.
For those of you who stuck around this long, you get this Easter egg. Okay. Maximize your reverse if you want to maximize your hypertrophy and strength potential after your show. Okay. Because your body is hungry. Your body, I swear to you, your body, your muscles are hungry. It's all hungry. And if you feed it a bunch of shit, you're going to blow up with inflammation. But if you feed it a bunch of good food in a controlled manner and you put the pedal down on your training because you understand that you are now pushing all of these beautiful nutrients into your muscle cells, man, great things can happen. So
you're usually more insulin sensitive as well.
Yeah, that's when I hit my PR deadlift was after my last powerlifting competition with the USAPL. The powerlifting meet was July. That deadlift was September. And man, after that event, I just PR after PR after PR after PR. But it's because you were in prep, so I wasn't eating. I was eating clean. I was eating very clean. I will say that I remember, I'm not going to say hiding in the hallway, but not being in the hotel room eating a cookie at your Tahoe show. I think it might have been after that deadlift session, actually. So get my cookie in before.
That was wise.
but yeah, guys, just like, man, there's so much low hanging fruit that athletes can maximize and prioritize and optimize that they're just ignoring. And it's like, oh, what do you think? I'm at, you know, 300 mgs of testosterone a week. What do you think? I'm like, dude, like, are you sleeping, eating your protein? Like, that's the first question, because it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, just be intelligent, guys. And understand that each decision you make, whether you bring it back to your goal or not, it has an effect on that long-term goal. And that's why maintaining your marathon mentality and maintaining the focal point on your long-term goal is so important. That's why it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of touches on my last point of getting your laps done. So you don't want to get them done like directly after you've dieted, probably not even directly after a competition.
It's tough. Your body's going to be in a state of flux, you know?
There's a lot going on, mm-hmm. but I would get labs sooner. I usually say like 8 to 12 weeks post-show, get some lab work done, see where things are. Then you're probably going to want to retest one more time within like a couple months, just to make sure that like hormones have returned to like a healthy level. Thyroid looks good. Pay attention to how your gut is feeling. You want to make sure that food's digesting well. Like, just make sure that, like, we get, like, very focused on, like, the competition at hand. What is our body doing? Is it getting us there? And then sometimes we just forget to care about our body in an improvement season. I've been there. So just make sure that you are not wasting 8 months where your thyroid is not working and your sex hormones are still tanked, and you've now, like, you think that you're spending all of this time building muscle, getting stronger, doing the things, and your body is not in an optimal state to actually do that. So, you know, give it some time to recover after the event, get labs tested, evaluate from there, and then if you need to retest again, please do that. And every so often, I encourage people to get, like, a metabolic panel to just touch base.
Yeah. Well, if you're in a long improvement season, you can have scheduled runs, right? So that you know what's normal. Mm-hmm. And for women, you probably want on the same time of month. Mm-hmm. And all, like you said, so that your hormones are back to normal. This is also going under the assumption that you got your labs done before you started your prep to make sure that you were in a good place to start your prep.
Yes.
So do your labs when you're thinking, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to do a show. Do your labs. If you're not where you're supposed to be, we need to get that right first. We need to get your body processes optimized before we think about any kind of exertion, whether it's PED assistance or whether it's stress of a prep for a bodybuilding or a powerlifting meet. We need to make sure that your body is firing on all cylinders before we go to the racetrack.
Yeah, a healthy body will give you the best results. Mm-hmm. Small things of unhealthiness within a physique can be real big roadblocks.
Yeah.
So, and that happens not just in a dieting phase, it happens in improvement season too.
Well, that's what you said. You don't want to spend 8 months thinking that you're making 100% progress and only making 20%.
Yeah.
Every time you go in the gym for 2 hours, you're only getting, you know, 20 minutes worth of effort or a return on it. You know, and that's not great. Like, no one wants that.
No. Yeah.
So, but the flip side of that is also no one wants to do most of the work that it takes to optimize this stuff, right? And they want the easy fix. So, optimize, guys. There's so many things, and it's relatively easy. Once you get into the habit of doing these things and into the routine, it's easy. It's really not that difficult to do these things over and over again.
I think you reach a point where you just accept that this is what you do.
Yes.
And again, it goes back to identifying who you are. Mm-hmm. I'm an athlete, so this is how I eat. This is how I make sure I get to the gym. Mm-hmm. These are like non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. And when we go visit family, like, they know that. They know that, like, this is what they do. And we make sure to make time with them the rest of the day. So yeah, it just has to be ingrained, I think.
Yeah.
And one last thing that I think is important is checking in with yourself, which we kind of touched on, but that's why I like still doing check-ins with people, even in their improvement season. Let's take inventory of what's going on. Because if you aren't evaluating on a regular basis, stuff can really just like slide out of your control. You might not even be realizing like, oh my gosh, I haven't been doing X, Y, and Z, or I've been missing like 3 training sessions every week. I'm only getting to the gym 2 times a week. So like check in with yourself. And I think it's good to like have a coach for accountability, but also like take ownership of it. And if you don't have a coach, like be accountable to yourself.
Yeah.
Because like just asking yourself, like, am I making efforts towards what I want to achieve? Like, I want to build muscle. Am I building muscle? What am I doing that's helping me build muscle? And if you can say, like, I'm eating my protein, I'm targeting my glutes in the gym, I'm doing my mobility work, I'm sleeping, you then just put it out of your head and just keep going through the process. Mm-hmm. Because it will take time, but you can bank on the fact that you're putting into play the things that happen to actually, like, get you to where you need to be.
Yeah, and a halfway tongue-in-cheek comment about that is just remember that you're never working hard enough in the gym. There's always more, and no matter how hard you think you're working, you could probably have done 2 or 3 more reps.
And by the way, that doesn't mean you're not lifting heavy enough.
Yes,
don't
correct.
Take it as I'm not working hard enough, I'm not lifting
usually
heavy
enough. Usually, you're not focusing enough. Usually, it's you're not trying hard enough to stabilize. Usually, it's other things that, you know, it's the things that people don't want to do because it doesn't let them lift as heavy.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always more is one of our mantras for a reason, because there is truly always more. And that's not to say you're doing it wrong. It's just luckily for us, we can always do it better. And that is going to continue our progress, because that means it's not just contingent on our effort level. It's also contingent on our mastery of the technique.
Mm-hmm.
So, multiple avenues of progress, have multiple metrics of success for yourself. That kind of goes back to like, you know, the PRs versus, you know, like body measurements or something. You know what I mean? Like your goal as a bodybuilder should not be centered around that scale. It should be centered around a mirror, right? That's how we look is the goal of a bodybuilder. The scale is a nice single point data point, but it should not be our entire world. Mm-hmm. And I feel like so many people get so stuck on that it's like, man, I can see that your body's doing what it needs to do, but since the scale hasn't moved, you're stressing out. But like, look, that means maybe you got a little more muscle mass, right? Maybe something else is happening, right? It's nothing. We need to, like you said, remove that stress from the prep and the growing season. So
yeah, exactly. So your improvement season should be more relaxed than your prep, as far as like not being so tunnel vision towards mm-hmm. this is happening. There, you do want to be able to move out of that, but you should have an intentionality. You should have intentionality behind the things that you choose to do to match the expectations of where you want to go. So it's hard. I think every time you go through it, you learn a little bit more. I did a lot of things wrong in my first however many improvement seasons.
We're still doing things wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you learn, but that's the point, is you mm-hmm. learn through the process. And if you can get better, a little better every time, you're going to continue to pick up momentum. You're going to continue to move to where you want to be. Then the length of your improvement season, where your body's in a state where it is, you know, encouraged to grow, will determine how much of a change there is from show to show. So allot yourself, you know, the time that makes sense.
Yeah, which another point is, how much of that time are you actively spending towards your goal, right? If each day you have 16 hours worth of effort to invest in any given enterprise in your life, if we invest only 30 minutes a day to our bodybuilding goals over a year versus someone who invests 2 to 3 hours per day, even in their improvement season, who's going to make more progress, right? And now let's take it a step further. Someone who's spending 2 to 3 hours, but they're in the gym on their phone, versus someone who's spending 2 to 3 hours, but they're focused. And that is all they are thinking about in those 2 to 3 hours. And the rest of the day, they're spending doing whatever else they have to do. But the point is to spend an adequate amount of time and an adequate amount of focus on this to have a reasonable expectation of progress at the end of your improvement season. That's what I mean. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah. Don't just go through the process of a quote-unquote improvement season and you're eating your calories and you're drinking your water and you're doing your steps or whatever it is, and you're checking off the box in your workout. Don't just go through that thinking you're doing everything, because if you're not working hard and you're not actively focused on your goal, you're not going to get any closer to it. So it's going to be much harder to get closer to it.
Okay. Yes, that is true.
Okay, that's all. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. It was different than what I was saying, but it is a good point. So, okay. I think that pretty much.
Well, because you were talking about duration.
Yeah, I meant like six months versus 3 years. Like,
yeah. Well, look, if one person works as hard as they possibly can for 1 year versus putting it on the back burner for 3 years, they might make about the same amount of progress in that time. That's what I'm saying. Like, so just understand that, like, however much time you think you need to put towards that improvement season has to be contingent on how much energy and effort you're willing to put towards that goal for that improvement season.
That makes sense.
Right? Yeah. You might be able to turn it around and run it back the next year. Right? Even though your feedback was more glute, you might be able to turn around and run it back the next year if it is still your life for the rest of that year. Yeah, your calories are up, but you're still in prep. It is still your life. And yeah, just usually that's not what happens in the bodybuilding world, because it's a hobby, right? So
yeah.
It can't be your life. Anyway.
And be okay with what your body, like,
be patient.
Be okay with what genetics you have.
Yeah. Sometimes, no matter how hard you work, you're not going to gain 10 pounds of muscle in 1 year.
Yeah, some people will gain faster. Some people will gain slower. And wherever you fall is okay.
Yeah.
But just stay focused and let it be the best version that you can create. Your results are your responsibility. Your decisions.
Yes.
Should be good.
Yes. Your life right now is a culmination of all the decisions you've made to this point.
Okay. Well, I hope this podcast was helpful. Just
ramblings.
We started losing it at the end, so it's time to wrap it up. I just hope that it helps people, because improvement season can be like, it can be the Wild West and you don't know really what's happening or where to focus or what to do. I think a lot of people struggle in this season. So it's like, don't feel like you're alone. Realize that, like, we don't have it all figured out either, but from what we have learned, that, like, these things really do make a difference, and, you know, this is part of our life, is to figure out how to advance and how to help our athletes advance, and so that's why we share on here. So, anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. If you're struggling, reach out.
Ask
questions. We are some of the most inexpensive prep coaches out there, so hire us for coaching if you want. But more importantly, ask questions. We just love helping people, you know.
If you feel you're struggling with one of the things mentioned too, just reach out.
Yeah. We do phone consults with people all the time. You know, other coaches, other athletes, and it's generally people need a different perspective. You know what I mean? And it's a lot of the times people know the answer, but they just need to hear from someone else who they might respect in the space or something, you know. I don't know, but Yeah. It's tough, guys, but we can do it.
All right. So we want to thank you for choosing the Reckless Training Podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a rating and review. That helps us continue to expand our reach in helping athletes. If you're interested in coaching, you can visit our website at recklesstraining.com. I'll have that link in the show notes below. And feel free to give us a follow on Instagram. I'll have those handles listed in the show notes as well. Whatever platform you're on, give us a like, give us a comment, give us some
follow, subscribe.
Yeah. Something to help keep fueling us forward. We use all of our donations to pour back into this podcast. So if you feel like supporting us in that way, I'll have that link in the show notes as well. And also feel free to let us know what you would like to hear. If there's topics or, you know, things that you're curious about, let us know what we can help answer and create some content to help educate and share with you.
And if you're interested in using strong lifting in your next growing season, reach out, ask a question. We'll be here.
Okay, I'm with that.
Work hard, stay humble, train reckless.